Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for May 14th, 2008. Patrick, may I have a roll call, please? Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd like to move to item number four tonight, which is a closed session for real estate negotiations. This is a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 regarding the real property commonly known as... Okay, hearing none, we'll move to close...
I need to recuse myself.
And I'll need to recuse myself.
I'm within 500 feet. I'm across the street from the property.
And I'll need to recuse myself also, as I live within 500 feet of the community center.
Okay, so Director Dahl and Director Dean will be recused because they live within close proximity to the community center. So with that, we'll move to closed session. We can do that. I'd like to certainly take the commander out of order. Yeah. Okay, we have everyone. If easy piece are in. Okay. I'd like to welcome everyone tonight after our closed session. The meeting is already in session, so I will ask Alex Seamus to give a report from our closed session.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. With regard to item four on the agenda, a closed session for real estate negotiations, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8, regarding the real property commonly known as San Luis Obispo County Assessor's Parcel Number 062051021 and 062051022, the Oceano Community Center, with the designated district negotiator being Patrick O'Reilly, the district general manager, the board took action to approve in concept the pending proposal for transfer of the tenant's interest in the Oceano Community Center lease from Oceano Community Center, Inc. to the Lucia Mar Unified School District and directed staff to work with Oceano Community Center, Inc. and Lucia Mar School District representatives to structure the transaction details for final approval by the board. That action was taken.
There's a couple of items to bring up this evening. And
there we go. Can you hear me now? We've had some increase in credit card theft and credit card fraud. I know that's shocking to hear in Oceano. Actually, we had a case where a subject stole a credit card and used it at Johnson's Market, Central Market, and La Tapatia. Thanks to the modern-day videotape recording systems we've got in some of the stores, were able to identify him, and he was arrested last week by our station investigator. His name is Sergio Segura, age 29 years, resident of Grover Beach, and he was also a parolee at large, so he had recently been released from prison. So I was real pleased to see that happen. The other item we had of interest was an arrest at a location on Price Street in the Pomo, across from the Pomo Elementary School. You may have seen it on television. We were investigating, once again, some forged checks and stolen credit cards, and we managed to locate the remnants of a methamphetamine conversion lab inside the residence, which was located, like I said, directly across the street from an elementary school, which we're happy to get rid of that. He also had a sawed-off shotgun and about a room full of stolen property from Napomo and Oceano area, which we recovered. And anybody that's had car stereos, game systems, we have one large screen television. If anybody has information at home that can identify this stuff, can bring it forward, then we can get the stuff back to the owners. But we seem to have kind of broken the back of the thefts that we had going on in the area, because it's dropped off dramatically. So I was real pleased for that as well. The last item I've got is with the fuel cost increase that we've been seeing recently, we're having an increase in theft of gasoline from vehicles parked out on the street. It's being siphoned out usually at night. People come out and find 10 or 15 gallons of gas taken out of their vehicles. What we're suggesting that people do, the easiest thing to do is purchase a locking gas cap and put that on your gas tank so that you defer somebody over to another vehicle that's easier to get the gasoline out of. So I just wanted to point that out, and that would help prevent the thefts and maybe reduce the crime in the area.
Comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda tonight. Also, for things that are on the agenda tonight, we'll have opportunity to comment on each individual agenda item. So if anyone would like to address the board on a general matter at this time. Okay, hearing none. Moving on, it seems a lot of people are probably here for item number 11A, which is the Oceana Depot lease agreement. So I'd like to take that out of order, if we could do that at this time.
President Hill, the Oceana lease agreement, the depot, Oceana Depot, is within 500 feet of my business, Oceana Nursery. So I will have to recuse myself on this item.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Okay. With that, Patrick, would you like to
certainly
tell us about it?
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, in August of 1998, the district and the Oceana Depot Association entered into a lease agreement for the property across the street from the district headquarters. The lease agreement required the Oceana Depot Association to take numerous actions, including providing maintenance for subject property, maintaining insurance in effect, and paying utilities for the property. The original lease was for a 10-year term that expires this year. The tenant has the right to extend the term of the lease for additional periods of 10 years for the maximum time allowed by law, which is 99 years. The tenant has given district notice that it intends to extend the lease for another 10 years. A copy of that notice is attached to the staff report and is available in the back if someone needs to see it. The tenant is in compliance with all requirements of the lease agreement. As part of the notice, the tenant asked for some amendments to the lease. Now, they're not, had they just wanted to extend the lease, it wouldn't even come to us for approval. They have the right to do that. However, since they asked to have a couple of sections changed, the board is required to approve those changes. To summarize the changes, they want to add one APN to the lease as being owned by the tenant, because I think they purchased the property between when the lease was originally started and now. And that's APN 62-271-04. They want to, when the lease was originally purchased, there was some cost of getting the grants from the state of California, and they agreed to assume all the costs of doing that. They have complied to continue in that arrangement between the district and the village group for the lease of that property, the use of the parking lot. And then there are several other articles that had to do with the original costs that, they've taken care of, and they'd like those articles eliminated as well. And then they have a change of address for notification on Netflix.
So it sounds like they're basically administrative
they're all
cleanup items.
Yeah, and not to quibble about semantics, there really isn't any need to change the lease to acknowledge that they've already, for instance, paid those costs that were associated with the original grant. You can simply acknowledge in by motion that that's occurred, and that's adequate documentation. I don't think there's an awful lot of benefit to anybody in going through the exercise and expense of drafting up some long formal document that amends the lease to say that those things are stricken. So again, I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill here, but I'm not sure that those changes they're asking for are really changes. You just simply need to acknowledge that it's occurred.
You don't just take the old lease, write it the same way with those things dropped?
We can, but then you got a new lease. What they're doing is they're not entering into a new lease. They're simply exercising an option to extend the time limit under the existing lease. So all they have to do that is give us a notice of extension, which they have, and all they have to do to change their address for notice under the lease is give us written notice that the address has changed, which they've done. Those are the only two technical legal requirements necessary, and I think they've accomplished them. The rest is sort of, I don't want to be too pejorative about it, but it's kind of administrative fluff.
I wanted to ask about the parking provisions.
Yeah,
now that's a different matter.
That could be substantive, and mm-hmm. I don't know if the village group has any particular comment on that. I defer to Patrick as to, you know, how that interplays.
They have not contacted us, and really all they're asking for is that they be added as the additionally insured to the insurance policy.
I think the village group's sitting here tonight.
Are they? I guess they could answer that.
I don't know. You know, if he's here and wants to talk about them, just kind of curious what's going on.
Well, you're in board questions now. Then you take it out to the public for comment.
Yeah.
Right, and then,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the question I had mostly was, since the parking lot is 32 spaces and it was originally paved under a grant the OCSD to pave the parking lot, I thought it was originally a grant for a park and ride. I'd like to kind of see that being brought back to consideration by the Depot Association and the OCSD, because we really have need of those. We're in a different situation now. We've got high gas prices. We see people taking mass transit. We see people taking ride shares. And we're right next to a bus stop, and here is a parking lot that can't be used. It really is labeled private parking. So I'd like to see us maybe consider opening that parking lot up to a park and ride. I don't see gas prices going down. I recently joined the riders on mass transit because of the cost of gasoline, and I think maybe it would be a boon to the community to be looking at that kind of thing. So that might be a discussion point, and I think that's kind of what was referred to in all those emails that were going on.
Yeah, I just
it was mainly to say that, you know, we have a very valuable resource here. We have a community that could have a good location for a park and ride, and I don't want to restrict it by language in a 10-year lease saying that we can do these kinds of things. I'm not sure how that will work out, but I'd like to see maybe some kind of meeting of the minds about sharing it and using it again as a park and ride. It's one of only 18 in the county. It hasn't been open for a long time, but I think we're in a time of crisis, gasoline crisis and crunch for everybody, and the mass transit surge is kind of coming. So that would be my only comment.
There's two issues here. One has to do with the village group's use of the parking facility. Mm-hmm. And if the board is inclined to go along with what the Depot Association is asking for, then it before you could carry...
And basically, the county's position is that it's a low-priority lot. It was underutilized, and they felt like it had been used for 7 years. It was a good investment for 7 years, but it's not a priority that they're willing to invest funds in at this time to continue that. That's not to say if the board elects to try to get the county to look at it more seriously, we couldn't try to do that. But right now, their position is that it's not a high enough priority. They feel like they have other areas where they need have a higher priority for park and ride lots.
They said at the time it was underutilized for all those years because mainly we didn't have a gas crunch. And I think we're coming around to where it would be a boon to this community to have a park and ride and to get everybody on board thinking that way. And in the last email, I think they were asking to maybe consider a few spaces for a park and ride.
Right. Well, the other thing was they said it was a consensual agreement. There was no requirement to have a park and ride as a condition of the grant. It was an agreeable thing between the parties. And they did say it would be nice if the district and Depot Association would willingly agree to let a few people use a couple spaces. That's what they suggested.
A couple spaces probably won't do it. Where I'm parking, I have to go to Arroyo Grande to park, and it's full up. Yeah. It is full up. I could walk to this one and catch the bus. Right. So I think it's maybe short-sighted that maybe we should consider that before and get everybody together and think about that, the village group, the Depot Association, and us.
Because if that's what the board wants to do, we can do that, certainly.
I would like to read something that came today at 10:51 a.m. from a Tim Gilham. Slocog staff did look into reopening this lot after the repaving occurred, but upon further analysis, including vehicle counts, determined it to be a low priority among existing park and ride lots. Staff calculated the $22,000 incurred for the use of 32 spaces to be approximately 38 cents per space over 7 years and was a good use of funds at that time. However, being that the lot was underutilized, it was found no longer feasible to invest in it. Also, the OCSD has concerns about a growing number of abandoned vehicles and boats being left in the parking lot. Additionally, because the installation of all community and the bus goes up and down most of the streets. And I just think that this is ridiculous to go back to the park and ride. We had people in the community that would have their employees park there and walk a block to their business or park their vehicles there. And yet, it's used three times a day by the village group. Where are those people going to park? I mean, what about, if you want to have a park and ride, take some of these spots over here in our parking lot and then have staff park across the street over there because at least it would be empty, the three or four people we have if they want three or four spots. You and I totally disagree on this.
Yes,
I know.
We do. And what the county is referring to is a different time and a different time in history. So things are changing, and I'd like to see it being opened up and people working together to get some park and ride lots, accommodate the village group and so forth too. So that's just my ideas, and that's where we are in disagreement about that. I support the Depot Association and what they've done to work with a 100-year-old building and develop it, and I understand that because I have a 100-year-old house, and it's a lot of effort, and it's a lot of time, and it's a lot of work. It's like rebuilding the whole thing. So I think they've done a good job there. But I think we also have a valuable resource we are going to squander if we just let it go as it is.
Okay, other comment or questions from the board on the staff report? Okay, at this time then, any member of the public can address the board on this topic. Linda Austin.
Good evening, Mr. Hill, President Hill, members of the board, staff. I'm Linda Austin. I'm the president of the Oceano Depot Association. I'm here tonight with the, most of our board is here tonight, and a lot of our volunteers, a lot of people that work on the depot are here with me. And we're very happy to be here. We thank you for the opportunity to come. And I, this last week, you were presented with packets that gave a little history of our project across the street and the updates that we had requested on our lease. And I was listening to the attorney here, and I think we need, as you all know, that we are responsible for the parking lot. It is leased to us. The terms of the lease, we handle all maintenance, all insurance, everything to do with that lot is our responsibility. We are responsible if anything happens over there. So with the village group using the lot, one time a couple years ago, we did get a certificate of insurance naming us additional insured. That was on the advice of our attorney. And other than that, everything's fine. So, you know, we can work that out. And the other two were just that we did, we were able to purchase another piece of property that brings our property all in a continuity with the grove of trees. So on that, now if we can address the park and ride. I have all the emails that came today. And I have an email that I sent to Patrick last, I sent it to Patrick on the 12th. He had came to see me in my office because Director Bookout was adamant in the last couple of weeks trying to find information on the park and ride. He's been at the office numerous times wanting all information on the park and ride agreement because he seems to have a problem that it is not, that after the 7 years it was taken down. So after I wrote Patrick, and I think if I'll just maybe read parts of this and maybe people will understand what's going on over there and what, you know, what we're doing. And it starts out, this is a follow-up to your visit to my office regarding the depot parking lot. You stated Bill Bookout is adamant about finding information regarding a park and ride at the depot, and then these are the facts. The park and ride clause was for a number of years that have since expired. Slow Cog has attested to this in the recent emails. I'll get to the removal of the signs in a minute, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what I'd let Patrick know. During the years the park and ride was in effect, the impression the public had of that lot was that it was a public free-for-all to be used by anyone for any reason. We never witnessed anyone use the lot for park and ride. What happened was that the tenants in the apartments across the street and surrounding neighborhood used the lot to park their inoperable vehicles, their extra vehicles, and all their visitors' vehicles. It became a miniature used car lot with cars lined up with for sale signs on them, and everyone remembers what was going on down here on the empty lot before they fenced it, and it was a car lot. That's what we had across the street in our lot. Where was I? The car lot. One time a man was under his, it was a constant battle trying to keep the lot clear for our own use. One time a man was under his vehicle up on blocks working on it. Oil was all over the ground. It became a campground for RVs. Our water hoses hooked up to their vehicles, their bags of trash left for our removal. One guy that lived in France, and all costs involving the lot. We are to let the district use the lot for district business, only during those times that it does not interfere with depot operations. The district entered into a lease with the village group and designated our lot as their parking. We cooperate with this agreement because the rental of the building brings in revenue for the fire department. That rent, the district collects $10,200 a year. That money goes directly to our fire department. We're happy that the depot has this lot over here that's able to help out this community and our fire department. We have a good relationship with the village group. They cooperate with us regarding the lot. It's been since 2003, I believe, we've been dealing with the village group. And when we have an event function, we just give them notice. They don't park there. We have a very good relationship. Everything's fine. They use the lot. Like I said, they use it 7 days a week, 2 to 3 times a day for their meetings. And it's usually full for every one of their meetings. And the lot is also used by our fire department when they have functions for visitor parking, also by the sheriff's department personnel at times. They'll park over there. There are two parking lots in this area here, this parking lot, OCSD, and the depot's parking lot. These lots are used by four different organizations. They're used by OCSD, the Oceano Depot Association, the sheriff's office, and the village group. So there's just no room for any other kind of parking allowed on the lot. We have the legal right and the responsibility, yes, we do, the responsibility to protect our project, and that's what we're going to do. The Depot Association has been more than cooperative when it comes to the use of the lot, and we have always complied with the terms of our lease. It takes a lot of work to put on a function or event, and having to deal with parking issues only compounds the stress and should not be necessary. The county donated that land specifically for the Depot project, and the Depot comes first when it comes to the parking lot. There should be no question about it. If you sit and think what is trying to be done here tonight with Director Brookhead, he can't be here because he's right across the street, and Ms. Dean, you'd see there's something definitely wrong. You know, the Depot pays all the bills, but we don't have any control over what goes on in the parking lot that we are responsible for. So, you know, whenever we have an event, I'm the one that's down there at 10 and 11 o'clock at night after the village group meeting, closing up the lot so as not to have stray vehicles left overnight. We try to locate owners of vehicles to have them moved. You know, I'm the one up there at 6 a.m. opening up, making sure the lot's ready. You know, they have no idea what a volunteer organization does. Where are they when we are cleaning the lot, repainting the striping, picking up cigarette butts and trash, trying to make sure that we have parking for events that bring people to our community and money. And this was done like three or four, I don't know how many years ago, but it's done a few years ago. You know, we don't do anything over there that's illegal. We don't do anything we don't consult with our attorney. And the reason the private parking signs are there is with the advice of our attorney, and it was done in cooperation with the OCSD, because if you don't have any signs, you have to have some kind of posting on a lot. You can't just have it sitting there, then you'll end up with what we had. So by putting the private property, no parking, will be towed, that's just a protection that you do for liability issues, which everyone seems to worry about a lot around here. So, sum it up, you know, there's no room for a park and ride. We're very busy over there now. We have a lot of events happening, coming on. We need our parking. And the village group needs the parking. We're in cooperation with them, with OCSD. I mean, everything's working very smoothly. We're running our project. It's coming along very, very nicely. We have wonderful volunteers. This is only just a handful, but this is our youngest right here, who was plants flowers with the Kiwanis when they came over and did our park for us. People stop by there eating lunch in our park all the time. I see people in there. We don't close the lot off to people. We've never towed a car. You know, we'll put a sign up if we're going to have an event. If there's a car there, we'll put a little note. But that doesn't happen anymore because we have control now, and it's used the way it's supposed to be used by the people who are supposed to be using it, and it's all done legally and responsibly, and the way we operate. So, thank you for all that. That's it for me.
Just
do you have any questions?
Thank you. Thank you. One question I would have is that council noted that renewal of the lease should be just a formality. Would the Depot Association board be amenable to our board noting in a separate motion, as council has suggested, that we acknowledge that the Depot Association has met all of the requirements that were originally talked about in the lease, and that those have been discharged fully, and that would those
think so. I mean, most of them are here. We're just missing. What do you guys think?
Yes,
you
think would that be acceptable?
Okay? Rick? Okay, that would be acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Any other comment at this time?
Park it, you know, because that's really kind of where people need the park and ride. That lot is not really very accessible. I mean, the village people are brave, brave people, but, you know, crossing that road every day, but I do think that we do need a park and ride in this area, but it needs to be placed where the majority of people who will use it responsibly, it belongs, like that nice parking lot right next to Central Market.
I think your point is well taken. Other comment or from the board?
Hi.
Okay.
Kenneth Dia, Oceano. I myself having a hard time to understand all this problem. Pamela, what is your problem? First of all, you complain about the depot. Let me say this. The depot
I'm going to have to ask that you address your comments to the entire board,
that's
please.
Fine. The depot, I pass by the depot every morning. And every morning I pass by, I see Linda, her mother, cleaning the place, putting flowers, making that place presentable. At least it's one of the few places that looks presentable in this, in that street. And of course, my place too. But I feel the people that keep complaining, why instead of complaining, they don't go over there and help instead of wasting time, wasting the community's money, sitting in the board and doing nothing other than complaining. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment at this time?
Is there anyone here from the village group as far as wants to comment, make a comment as far as the parking situation for them or the requirements?
Good evening. My name is Roger Lippincott, and I've been affiliated with the village group for over 19 years. Without the parking, it would be extremely difficult to fulfill the requirements that we have with regards to daily meetings. As a rule, we're in there at 6:30 in the morning, and we're out of there at 10 after 8. And same thing with lunch. We're in there real regular periods of time. And I just want to say how important it is for me personally. I can't speak for the village group, but for me personally, how very important it is to have a place that we...
Rick Searcy, member of the Depot Association. I just like to implement, we'd encourage you to continue the lease with the Depot Association and whatever requirements that is necessary to eliminate some of the attached. And, you know, I just, you guys all recognize that the depot is probably one of the jewels of the five cities, and it's very important to this community to have a place like this, and it makes it so much easier for the association to be able to control the parking lot and its events and show its good faith and being a good neighbor to not only the district but to the village group. And as you say, you know, you must recognize that the district is generating revenue of its fire department, you know, for its fire department through the old fire space on, you know, the behalf of the depot extending their hand to allow parking. I could go on and on and on about some of the parking issues that OCSD is facing. You know, there was one proposed down here right behind the fire station at one time and a park and everything else, but I just encourage you, yes vote tonight on this item. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comment on this item? Okay, hearing no more public comment, I'll bring it back to the board then. Further board comment or discussion?
I just had a question on the, Alex, you mentioned, I'm sorry. Alex, you mentioned earlier that there was an issue with as far as between the Depot Association and the Village Group as far as the additional insurance. Did it have anything to do with us?
The only concern I have here is that if we unilaterally take action to impose some additional requirement on the Village Group by changing the Depot Association's lease, we may not have the power to do that because we've got a contract with the Village Group. And I didn't get the Village Group contract out today to look at it. I don't recall what it says. Frankly, I don't recall it saying anything about the right to use any of the parking over at the Depot Association, but it may be just that my memory has faded and I'm wrong about that. So take a little closer look at it and communicate with the Village Group about the request that's being made so that we make sure everybody's rights and privileges are in alignment and we don't do something that we don't have the power to do.
Can we put in this motion that not only have they met the requirements, but that there is no more park and ride? Can we put that in our...
Well, you can acknowledge the fact that the park and ride doesn't exist.
Okay.
If, I'm not sure that what that really adds to the motion, but you certainly can do that.
Well, I don't want somebody to come back at the next meeting and say they have to do park and ride. I don't want to open that up again.
Yeah.
President Hill, I'm sorry. The Village Group has in the past provided us with certificates of insurance. They were given a letter, it should be in the file, several years ago that was required, and they did provide it, and I just wanted to make sure that it was documented that is supposed to happen, and we need a current one now. We don't have a current one now, so I don't know if that can be in the form of a letter to them again, or, you know, however it is, we do need that certificate of insurance with us additional insured. So however you want to do that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Would it be best possibly to take this as two separate items? One,
I think so, yes.
Okay. It seems to me that the Depot Association's been an ideal neighbor in the community. They have what was characterized properly as a jewel of the community, one of the few original Southern Pacific Railroad stations from the turn of the last century, most of which have long since been bulldozed and torn down. And it's a wonderful historical facility, and it's well managed. It's one of the best neighbors I think any community could hope for. And I'm pleased to support this item.
Are we ready for a motion?
I think we're ready for a motion. I'd perhaps recommend taking it as two items, perhaps renew the lease agreement and another two.
Can I just ask a question first before we do that? A couple of the items that were asked to be stricken are on page 2, subparagraph 4 is paragraph H4, and basically this...
Or change anything in the lease, but we would acknowledge that those things that have been done...
They're in compliance with all current requirements.
They're in compliance with all the current terms.
Okay.
Right.
Why don't you make the motion since you know what you
I will be pleased to do that. I would first move that we recognize that the Oceano Depot Association is an excellent neighbor, and that they are in full compliance with all terms of the current lease.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any comment on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
Question. As for the adding of the APN number and the other item in here, what's the other one?
Is that a side letter?
Change of address.
Yeah, change of address.
Change of address.
Those just administrative acknowledgments?
Sure, and you can add them to the motion without any difficulty. I don't...
It's just like a side letter?
Sure. Yeah.
I would then move that we renew the lease with the Oceana Depot Association for a further 10 years as suggested, taking note that the contact address has been changed, and also taking note that the Depot Association has purchased one of the adjacent properties.
With the APN number, probably.
The APN number being 062-27104, I believe, is...
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we reapprove the Oceano Depot Association lease. Is there any comment on this item? Any further comment or questions? May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Thank you very much. We'll move back to the original order of the agenda in that case. Item number 6 is board member items for discussion. Yeah. First of all, let's bring back Vice President Burkhout. Yeah, call us back to order. We were at agenda item number 6, board member items for discussion. Vern?
I have nothing at this time.
Barbara?
Nothing.
Bill?
I'd like to comment. In the paper today, there was a Oceano girl, and she was named as a local hero. A 9-year-old girl was named local hero Tuesday by the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department for her proper use of 911 public safety system last month when her father had a seizure. Our district supervisor, Kachua Zhajian, who presented this young lady with a resolution commending her efforts, thanked the youngster for her calmness and patience. It's just nice to see, you know, a 9-year-old girl calling 911 when she saw an emergency. I'm not going to mention her name, but I guess I could. It's Lily Hawkins. But nice young hero here in Oceano. The other thing is our fire department responded out to the dunes recently, to the Silver Spur Park out there. And I was nearby and I took my camera and I went out and took some pictures of the fire that was taking place at the dunes. And I have a disc for the Community Service District of those pictures. But our fire department acted very fast. They responded. It was amazing to see them in work, and it was quite a scene out there. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Pamela?
I have nothing.
Okay. I have nothing either. Item number 7, 7A and B is review and approval of the minutes. We have two tonight. The first is for April 23rd, 2008. Any comment or corrections? Is there any public comment on the minutes of April 23rd? Okay, hearing none.
We take them as one.
We can do that. Any comment or corrections on April 28th? Any public comment? Brings us to item 8B, report of district department heads. First of all, I guess would be report of the utility operations supervisor. Phil, do you want to give us any highlights there of the month?
We had no failures in the sewer system during the month, and we put in one new lateral. We had 3 leaks and were reported during the month. 2 of the leaks were plastic fittings, and 1 was a service line located in the customer's plumbing. We measured the static levels in the wells during the month, and the crew installed 1 new water service. A contractor installed several new water services in the new subdivision down on 25th Street. We had some problems with our alarm system during the month, and as a result, we had to respond numerous times for really false alarms. Dan and Steve devoted most of the month to fire hydrant maintenance. They did checked and operated about half of the district fire hydrants during the month, and we had an alternate worker that helped us with cleanup duties. Other jobs completed were collection of water system samples, routine water service maintenance, and maintenance on the Rolls-Royce engine. And we had to replace some shingles on one of our buildings because they got blown off during the high winds about a month ago. We also had some problems with our old 1944 Waukesha standby engine. We had trouble finding the cause. We were hoping it was minor, but it turned out to be major. We had a spare engine that we got from Union Oil Farm several years back over in Avila, and we decided to switch engines. It was difficult. The engines are pretty heavy and we're short on room, but it ran perfectly for several days, and then it too had oil in the water in the oil. But our mechanic's looking at it right now. We looked at our choices and decided to overhaul it. a rebuilt engine of the same kind was like $15,000, and we're hoping we can beat that. We produced 79 acre-feet of water during April, 47 acre-feet of state water, 15.49 acre-feet of Lopez, and we pumped 17.22 acre-feet. This was 5.6% more than was produced in the previous month, and March 2008 it was 6% more than was produced 1 year ago in April. That's all I have.
Or four?
Well,
each month?
Yeah,
depends.
Whatever.
Depends.
We're ahead of the game so far. We pumped more this month than we thought we would.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 2 to 3 times more. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have the agenda says none for administrative, but Gina, I noticed you have given us something of a report. Do you want to tell us some of the highlights of admin for the month?
I'd be happy to. You know, we have the usual items, project letters as prepared by the utilities operations supervisor, the reports to the state and the county that are done monthly, the agenda packets, including the special meeting this time for the goal setting. The DMV continues to be busy. The word's gotten out, I think, letting the senior center know has really helped a lot, too. We have a lot more people coming in. Staff also spent about an hour and a half researching and copying various documents that related to the depot that were requested by board members. Considerable time, of course, was spent on the recruitment process. 66 applications went out, about 24 came back in. We interviewed the first round 9 people, narrowed it down to 4. And Cassie Sanchez began with us Monday of this week. We're thrilled to have her. A lot of work is going on right now with the weed abatement program. We have the request for proposals out for the contractor, which closes tomorrow. At this point, we've had one response. We notified all the property owners of the program. In addition, we also sent out packets to the 5 organizations that had fireworks booths last year. The deadline for those was April 30th, and it's on the agenda for action in a little while tonight. We mailed the utility bills on March 31st. Then we turned around and mailed out 410 late notices about the 25th of April. We did approximately 100 door hangers on the 8th of May, and today we shut off the 10 accounts that still were unpaid. Staff spent a lot of time making sure that the sanitation district rates were in place for the rate increase that goes into effect in May, and that will be reflected in part on the June bill, be the first poured on June 11th for weed abatement. Processing will serve letters. We did collect $27,000 yesterday on one project for 5 homes. So we are now beginning to see a little more construction going on again. And of course, we're working on finalizing the budget document and the audit.
Okay. Sounds like everybody's been pretty busy.
I have a question. What is the new increase in sanitation rates? What will it be for a 2-month cycle? Do you know approximately?
No, I think President Hill might have a better idea.
I actually don't know that, but I can certainly get it.
It might be good to give people a heads up and let them know what's coming.
The rate increase, of course, was approved last year.
Right.
So.
Right, I can't remember what it was. It was there, too. I can't remember now.
I can certainly bring that to the next meeting.
Good.
Okay, report of the fire department. We have Captain Craig Angelo.
Good evening, everybody. As far as last month goes, we had 51 calls in total. 17 of them were in Oceano, 11 in Grover Beach, 6 were in Rio Grande. 13 were CAL FIRE assists, and 4 of those were on the beach. Of the ones in Oceano, We had 12 EMS calls, one fire-related, four miscellaneous calls. Brings our total call to this date right now is 271, which is about 34 behind last year. So it's actually a good thing. We're not running on as many calls, which is very good. Last month we had two vegetation fires, one of which was on the Mesa. The other one was down here in Grover Beach by the Butterfly Grove. And I don't really have too much information on those. The reports are still being filed through Grover and through CAL FIRE. Also, we had, let's see, we had a RV fire up at Silver Spur. That was an interesting one. I was the captain on that call. We were able to knock it down pretty quickly after we... And then for this month, the only thing since our last fire committee meeting, we had a structure fire in Grover Beach, which turned out being a shampoo processing facility, and so that took about 6 hours all night long. We were on that, and we've had to wash our turnout gear about three times a piece to get the smell out. It's been pretty bad. Then also other related to the fire, Firefighter Wathen's leaving us till November. He's got a job with the Forest Service. He'll be working up in Kings Canyon till November. Sad to see him go, but it's a great opportunity for him to get some wildfire training that's not from this area. So we're happy to see him go do that. Also our patrol, 61, we put door pins on it that will indicate a light in the cab when there's a door open, so we won't be tearing any more of the doors off of it, which is another really good thing. Training with Grover Beach and Rio Grande has been going really well. We just finished up some low-angle rescue, which we have a little bit here and there throughout the five cities, and we just started moving into wildland. We spent about 4 hours today pulling hose and cutting hand line with hand tools, digging up the dirt. So that's all I have for the fire department, if you have any questions.
Okay.
I had a question. What is low-angle rescue?
Well, as opposed to high-angle rescue, like what you'd see in Pismo, if someone falls off the cliffs or gets stuck down there, that's what they consider a high-angle rescue.
Okay.
Low angles, if you have a low-grade slope, that it's just really difficult to get to walk up, but you, with a little help with some ropes, you can get up up or down much easier. We'll use it in the sand dunes periodically and a lot of the drainage basins and stuff if there's someone that falls down in there and gets injured.
Yeah, I'm just not familiar with firefighters speak. So.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Other comment or questions on the report?
Yes. You mentioned there was a brush fire over at the Monarch Butterfly Grows. I know that's an environmentally sensitive area due to the monarchs. Are they still here at this point in time in the year, or they've left already?
I have no idea. I wasn't on that call, and if I read it correctly, I believe it was
agenda item. We have an agenda item for that, so probably in a few minutes. Okay, then we'll receive and file the reports, please. Moving to item number 9A, fireworks sale. Consider.
I'll accuse myself on this one.
Okay. Okay, item number 9A is fireworks sale. Consideration of the general manager's recommendation to approve resolution establishing a fireworks program for the year. Patrick?
Yeah, April the 9th, the board met and established the procedures for fireworks sales this year. Basically, decided three things: that there would be five vendors, we would limit it to five vendors, that the five vendors that participated last year would be allowed to participate again this year if they applied, and that if there were, if all five of them did not apply, that another group would be selected using a random method of selection.
four of the five groups from last year did apply on a timely basis. That's the CHP, the Eagles, the Church of God of Prophecy, and the Oceano Firefighters Association. The Eagles Auxiliary did not apply on a timely basis. As a result of that, the staff conducted a random drawing. And there were three other organizations that applied: the Central Coast Soccer Club, the Oceano and AG Valley Kiwanis, and Well Four Square Church. We conducted a random drawing, and the organization that was drawn was the Oceano and AG Valley Kiwanis Club. There's a resolution attached that specifies the procedures that were established by the board. It authorizes the five organizations to be the vendors this year, and it establishes procedures for next year as far as holding the lottery, that sort of thing. And that motion, or that resolution, is available for your approval.
Okay, thank you. Comment or questions on the staff report?
I have a question on the whereases.
Mm-hmm.
On the second page, the top one, that also meets the requirement for any fire problems that takes into account. Remember, we were asking that the fire department would not be called out to any of these vendors. Does that meet that kind of requirement? Okay. Can we add something to that?
Well, I think if they're in violation, the fire department can shut them down. They can just do that.
Okay, they just didn't want them back the next year. What we didn't want is to have them back the next year.
Well, we, if you recall, because we hadn't really done anything, we couldn't exclude them this year.
Right.
But, yeah, if we have to shut them down, then we would exclude them the next year. That's not in here, but
okay.
I would think that probably our normal policy course of action would be perhaps give one warning and then terminate, if necessary, the ability to participate if we have a serious problem.
And we could add a whereas to this resolution if you wanted to do that. We wanted to draft it.
I'd kind of like that to be in there because I don't want any more of those kinds of things happening, and I don't think our firefighters need to be out there being patrolling it or something, because so maybe if we could
how are we going to state that?
If I can.
Yeah.
If we have to respond out to an incident like that, there's going to be a full-on written report, just like if it were a medical call to that particular area. There was a report written last year. Unfortunately, it was done by the interim chief and lost in his computer system somewhere. Mm-hmm. It wasn't put on the regular firehouse computer that we normally do our reports on. All of our reports now are on that firehouse computer, and we can go back and look them up. So we were able to keep perfect good records. Now, I don't know if the board's aware or not, but as far as the fire authority goes, we can shut them down. As far as any citations or anything, we have to allow the county to do that because we don't have the authority to do so.
And what we wanted to do is, if they were operating like that, we didn't want them back again the next year. And that was one of the things we talked about.
Yes.
And you would have a report, but that would have to be going through Patrick to come to the board when we looked at them again next year. I just don't want that happening.
Mm-hmm. It would be any type of fire violations.
Mm-hmm.
Would be like if there was anything at a residence where there was a constant fire violation issue, we would build a case and then protest any activities with either the county allowing them to have a permit or OCSD allowing them to have a permit.
It's us. We'd like to prevent them from having a permit if they...
Okay. So we probably need a motion to add that to the resolution, I would presume. Is there public comment on this item, first of all? Okay, hearing none. Do you want to move that the general manager's language be added?
Yes, I'd like to move that the resolution 2008-08, including the new language written by the general manager added, is authorizing the five organizations to sell fireworks for the Independence Day celebration on July 4th.
Second.
Question. The language that you want added that says that the organization, that the OCSD may remove them from one of the lists.
Right.
Can you add behind that clause to make this more kind of along the lines of what you're doing? Should the OCSD feel that the violation is severe enough, or showing that there's a more of a chance for either a, we can either give them a one warning or remove them.
Well,
either.
That's why I said can terminate rather than saying we'll give you one warning and then we'll terminate you. I don't think I want to mess with that point.
I think the language that you propose kind of gives a discretion to.
I realize it does appropriately. I just was thinking that if that was added there, it would, for future boards, it would more say that we wanted to use discretion in that, in making that decision, as opposed to, well, we can do it, so we're doing it, type thought. And so that.
So what language are you proposing? I'm not clear.
Just to add after, where you say we can, the board can remove them from the list.
Right.
Just add, should the board feel the violation is severe enough to warrant that. Or to warrant removal. I mean, it says the same thing. It just kind of.
It's actually doing two different things, because what this says is that the board can terminate it in the current.
Okay. And then at the very end, should the district feel the violation is severe enough to.
Okay, so what that's saying is we can terminate you this year, and we may or may not let you sell again next year, depending on what the board says.
It's kind of the language I think that the general manager proposed seems to indicate kind of a maximum penalty for a pretty severe violation as the. But I don't see it as prohibiting, minor, minor actions if there was some very minor issue that needed to be addressed.
I thought, I guess my intent with this language is if you get terminated this year, you're not going to come back next year. If the fire department, and that's whatever in the fire committee, and I think at the last board meeting, that's what people wanted. They wanted a way to keep these people out once they'd violate. They didn't want it to have to come back and vote and discuss and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to see public safety violations being.
All right, I was just looking at a way to make it. If they're being terminated, that's the decision by the fire department, right?
Right.
And if they're being terminated, I was thinking that it would be best to leave it to the board to decide, at that time, how severe the violation was that caused them to be terminated. And one of the things I was looking at is trying to. See, with the fire department also selling fireworks, if I want to make sure that we appear to be very fair to everyone, and that if we're looking at too many organizations down the line that that are wanting to sell fireworks and we don't have room for them, I don't want to be later on accused of going out and purposely looking for violations in order that. That we can sell fireworks, or that our organizations can sell fireworks, and our fire department can sell fireworks by eliminating people. I don't want that to come back to us.
There's a lot more to that than just trying to stop people. I mean, if the fire department
as much as we can above reproach on that, on the issue. Mm-hmm. That's what I was concerned with. But you're wording Your wording's fine, I guess. It's your, if that's the way you get risk.
Well, I mean, if the board wants to change it, I'll change it.
I'm okay with the wording. And,
yeah. Okay, well, we have a motion and second to approve the wording as drafted by the general manager. There's been no comment on that, so we're basically ready to vote on it. It seems to me also that each year the board has historically passed a resolution of this nature, and I guess we could, future boards could amend those kinds of resolutions as they saw fit at the time. So I don't know that this necessarily restricts future participation that much, although the wording would allow, in case of gross violations, would allow some action to be taken. So with that, may I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. We'll bring Director Mann back. Okay, moving on then to item 9B, consideration of budget augmentation for fiscal year 2007-08, the current fiscal year. Consider recommendation of the general manager to increase budget for fiscal year 2007-08 for capital equipment and no parking signs for some of the alleys. Patrick?
The approved budget for the fire department for the current fiscal year includes $756,000 in revenue and $656,000 in expenditures. Represents a $99,000 difference more in revenues than in expenditures. However, when the budget was adopted, no capital expenditures were included in the budget, and it was the intent of staff at the time to add capital expenditures later. After the original budget was adopted, two major requests includes two AED units, eight EMS jackets, a multi-gas detector, rope rescue equipment, five handheld radios, a voice projection unit, and VFA grant matching funds of $5,978. The cost of this equipment will be partially offset by $4,500 in the revenue received from the sale of excess SCBAs. The fire department has also identified the need for $3,500 to purchase no parking signs to be installed in the alleys. It is anticipated that posting the signs will significantly improve fire access and emergencies in the alleys. The total recommended addition to budget expenditures for the current fiscal year, including increased dispatch costs, joint fire operations, capital equipment, and no parking signs, is $50,904, which still is substantially less than the excess revenue of $99,500.
Okay. And so you're recommending that we identify the $6,000 for dispatch services, $16,700 for the joint fire operations, $24,704 for additional capital equipment, and $3,500 for additional no parking signs or for original no parking signs to assure fire access to the alleys. And this was, again, because at the time the original budget for 07-08 was adopted, we didn't apportion any capital budget, waiting until such time as it might be appropriate to do that, right, which would be now.
and we're ready to spend this money.
It's mm-hmm. all. Okay, thank you very much. Board member comment or questions on the report?
I have a question on what are ZOL AED units. Can you tell me? And they're purchasing standard ones. Can you explain that too?
What an AED is, it's a automatic external defibrillator. You'll see them on TV, clear, shock. We currently have one for the department. At one point, we did have two, but they were malfunctioned, and we could not get any type of reimbursement for them. So as it is right now, every time we switch to a different unit, we have to remember to grab our one that we have, or if the battery goes.
So I'm ready to go. Go with this.
One comment that just for the edification of the public or anyone else who may not know, this item is all equipment related that is totally compatible with the other jurisdictions, Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, so that anyone responding to an emergency from either of the jurisdictions would have identical equipment so that the response could be as uniform and as anticipated as possible.
That was my next question.
Yep. Mm-hmm. How many no parking signs were we looking at for our alleys for 3,500?
I'm going to have to refer to Patrick. I didn't bring my counter with me. I had a number. I want to say it was around 47.
Yeah, I don't.
Does that sound right?
I don't remember the number. It was in that neighborhood, 30 or 40, something
yeah.
like that.
And these will be posted at each end of the alley, possibly the middle too? Or
at each entrance to every alley.
Very good.
Which is required by the California Vehicle Code.
Was 4,500?
No. Cacho had been in the past trying to find some money for us for this.
He didn't have any left.
And he didn't have any left for this year. Now, that doesn't mean that if we can't hold off until the next budget that he won't be able to come up with some money for this that we won't have to spend, that'll be able to be used for other equipment or for somewhere else in the fire department. I'm wondering if we want to, I mean, been so many years without these no parking signs, if we want to hold off and try to get that money out of the county for next year instead of spending it out of our budget.
I don't see the county having any extra money next year. They're looking at cuts across in all their departments, 8% to 10%. And, you know, the state's cutting the county is cutting their departments.
Yeah, that's true. And there's,
I don't look for any money next year.
Well, I don't know what the discretionary fund or so is going to be for each supervisor, but I know there will be something there, but how much it'll be, I don't know.
We've been fighting the alleys for years, though, and this is a way when they park in the alley behind your house, if it's posted, you can get them hauled away. Is that correct?
The CHP would be...
Yeah,
this will give them the authority to haul vehicles out of alleys.
They would be more than happy to come and do it, I'm sure.
And I'm not advocating.
You know, just on the alleys, you know, I as a person who, you know, the back of my house is on an alley, right? It's not the parked cars in the alley that are stopping, you know the fire trucks from getting through. It really is the condition of the surface. You know, you have to have a four-wheel drive to dig out of the potholes in our alleys in this county. None of them have surfaces on them. You know, you're lucky if there's a mattress there just to get some traction on your tires to get out of the hole. You know, so maybe if a few couches and maybe a few mattresses and maybe, you know, even just grade the alleys, you know, put a little bit into the surface and then come back at me and say, you know, the cars, you know, that are parked there or whatever is parked there is blocking the fire trucks from coming through. Because quite frankly, I don't think that's blocking it. I think it's the couches, the mattresses, and the road condition is so bad you cannot drive through it. You know, I see the tires spinning all the time. And on the budget augmentation for the fire department, I feel like there was one crucial budget item that was left out, and that is the increase of fuel. I don't know if you guys watch the news channel or, you know, watch the price of the barrel of gas or anything like that, but I do, right? And I think we're up to $126 for a barrel oil right now. So in the budget, I didn't see any increase for fuel in the fire department's augmentations of extra needed supplies. So I think the fire department might need a little bit more gas. And then also, too, is that once again, you know, here goes the economy, you know, ruining it for everybody. But there's a projected 30% increase in everything that's going to be manufactured. So, you know, at least put 10% of a buffer in there on your supplies that you use quite frequently, because the price of everything is going up, including, you know, a no parking sign. It will go up. So I don't know when this was up.
There's projected budget yet. We don't have next year's budget yet.
Oh, okay.
And there is increased fuel for next year.
Yeah, we did talk a lot about fuel.
Great.
And I think the finance committee has even said that we even felt that there wasn't enough budgeted, and we wanted to add more than what the fire department had asked for.
Okay, and my last but not least is the cost of utilities. They are going up. So great. I'm so glad that you covered the fuel.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. Bring the item back to the board. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the increases to the budgeted fire department expenditures for fiscal year 2007-2008 by $50,904 for the following: the dispatch services on $6,000, $16,700 joint fire operations, $24,704 capital equipment listed on attachment 3, $3,500 no parking signs for alleys for a total of the $50,904.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the recommendation of staff. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 10, utility items. 10A is cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is the continued disclosure of emergency declared by the board following the San Simeon earthquake regarding cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water mains. Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none. Motion from the board.
Where do we stand on this coming together? How many more months do we have?
Pamela, I can't hear you, hon.
I wanted to know where we stand on this and how many more months we're looking at. We don't have much longer
before we have to
start building.
We have until
right.
April of 2009, and
right.
we're still waiting for some permit approvals. But
environmental permit approvals? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we hope that, we expect that it will be finished and before the money runs out.
Yeah.
It's almost $1 million.
Yeah. Okay. I would move that
board and the public up to current information on what's happening with these two mobile home parks. The Grande and Halcyon mobile home parks are within the City of Aurora Grande's sphere of influence, but they came to us and asked if there was some way we could sell water to the City of Aurora Grande so the City of Aurora Grande could continue selling water to them. They are under they have an agreement with the City of Aurora Grande to provide them water. It's 8 acre feet a year, which doesn't seem like much to us, but to the City of Aurora Grande, it's getting to be a problem. So the city has notified them that they, within an unspecified period of time, but soon, they're going to have to find their water somewhere else. In the past, they had wells, but their wells are no longer, they can't use them because of nitrates and other contamination. So there are three options that were discussed to provide water to these two mobile home parks. One is for us to sell water to Aurora Grande and have Aurora Grande continue to sell water to the two mobile home parks. That's the option that the mobile home park owners would like, but our board and even the City of Aurora Grande doesn't favor doing that. The second approach is for those two parks to annex to Oceano, and then we could provide them water directly as customers. that's very expensive for them because we'd have to lay new pipe, and the annexation process is a little expensive. So they're not anxious to do that right now. And then the third option is for them to start using their wells again. That's two problems there. One, it's expensive to drill the wells and get them productive again. And then they have a problem with maintaining water quality in them and all the testing and that sort of stuff. So they're not anxious to do that. What they're hoping is, there's a Proposition 98 on the ballot this year. And Proposition 98 basically will do away with rent control. Now, the issue with one of the problems with them getting water from Arroyo Grande is that the residents don't want to give up the county status, because if they're annexed into the city of Arroyo Grande, the rent control goes away. So if Proposition 98 passes, then rent control is going to go away anyway, so they'll be able to annex into Arroyo Grande, and then Arroyo Grande will provide them water, technically. So the status right now is we're waiting until after the election to see if Prop 98 passes. If it does pass, then there's a good chance they'll annex into Arroyo Grande and this problem will go away. If Proposition 98 does not pass, then they're going to come back to us probably and look at annexing into Oceano to receive water from us. April the 28th, the board met and adopted 11 goals for fiscal year 2008-2009. I'm just going to read the goals. The first goal is to update the water and sewer master plans and build out trends. The second goal is to conduct study to increase water rates. Third goal is to develop long-term financial plan. The fourth is to replace existing software with QuickBooks or some other appropriate system. The next goal is to continue codification update by reviewing and revising codes, with the water code being the first to be reviewed. The next goal is to annex the two motorhome parks in Halcyon, Silver Spur Motorhome Park and the Oceano Dunes. The two in Halcyon are the ones I was just talking about. Silver Spur is, of course, the one where we just had the fire, and the Oceano Dunes. The next goal is to review and revise lighting policy and standards. The next goal is to participate in community center resolution of the community center problem. The next goal is for graffiti abatement using garbage fund money. The next goal is for constant, consistent communication with the public by improving the website and other areas. And the last goal was fiscal responsibility. And when the board adopted these goals, they directed the general manager to review the feasibility of each of these goals and to make formal reports on the status of each goal to the board on a quarterly basis. So we'll be doing that starting in October.
Okay, thank you very much. Any comment or question from the board?
I have one comment. Number F, the annexation of two motorhome parks on Halcyon, Silver Spur, Motorhome Park, and the Oceano Dunes. I just would like to note that that was only one director who was interested in annexing the Oceano Dunes.
Okay, comment or questions from the public on this item? Hearing none, thank you for the report. Item number 11C, General Manager Performance Evaluation. This is consideration of a form to be used by the board and the general manager to evaluate general manager's performance when the time comes for that. Patrick?
This is the third time this has come up for discussion. Each time the forms get a little better and we get a couple more forms to look at. There happen to be seven attachments to this particular staff report. The first one is the original form that was proposed on March the 26, 2008. It contains most of the recommendations included in the form presented by Director Dean on April the 23rd. And the attachments F and G are the job description for the general manager and the portion of the contract between the district and the general manager that talks about evaluations. So it's, the board should consider these forms and provide recommendations or suggestions for further revision.
Can we each give our opinions?
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll go first.
Okay.
Although I liked the first one that President Hill presented, I know the rest of the board wasn't in agreement with that. So my next choice would be the one that Director Bookout turned in with a couple of little changes. One of the changes would be to have more lines so you could make comments. And I figure we could just do one form, and if the general manager wants to fill out a form, he could use the same form as the directors. It just wouldn't really matter. And then the other thing, I really like Director Dean's suggestion that all of these be sent to legal counsel for him to collect them and compile them and come back and then tell the general manager in front of us how he was rated. Because an evaluation is to help the employee do a better job or what we're expecting. That's what I like.
Okay. Other comments? Bill?
Well, what Barbara said sounds fairly decent to me. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Pamela, comments?
I still maintain that I think the evaluation form should be tied in with the roles and responsibilities of the job description for the general manager, and I think that is more of a consistent approach, especially since he was given this when he joined the OCSD. So I'm happy with the...
I'm in agreement with Director Dean on this. I think that it is critical that the evaluation be, that the general manager be evaluated on the general manager's job description, and that he be evaluated on according to what the contract with him states, and that we don't, we don't go evaluating him on something that we never gave him direction to do, or that was not part of what he was asked to do. So having a rating based directly on what his job description was is, I think, the prudent way to go. And because of that, I think that the form that Director Dean gave was a good form, and the way that the general manager revised it is a good way to go on that. And I have no real opinion as far as whether the district attorney gathers
district
our
attorney.
District, the our attorney gathers it. Sorry about that.
He got a raise, didn't you, Alex?
It's not a pay raise. Don't don't get excited there.
Nor an improvement in status.
But whether the attorney collects them or not doesn't, it's not important to me. Comment section.
It is important to me.
Well, that's fine. It's fine with me either way. And as far as a comment section, you can add it if you want. But we also have to remember that this is something that we are developing with the general manager as having input on this also, not that it's just the board developing it alone, because that is how the contract reads.
Next time we write a contract, maybe we should be more careful.
Alex, have you had a chance to look over these?
Yes, I have.
What's your opinion?
The only concern that I have with regard to these is if the choice is attachment D or E, they don't call for a numerical grade. They call for a letter grade. So if I'm asked to compile it, it's pretty hard to average those kinds of letter grades. Usually when I've been asked to do this, and I haven't been asked to do it while I've been here with Oceano, but when I was doing, unedited, just drop them in there. If they were tied to a section, I'd make sure they were tied to the section, or if they were just general comments, they'd go in. Other than that, I don't really have any comments on the process. I think you're evolving towards what will probably turn out to be a pretty fair and reasonable process.
So on attachment E, for example, which is fundamentally a restatement of the general manager's job description with the key areas identified there and then the various sub discussion that's on the job description, that could be modified to apply a comment section, and then the rating could be modified to include a numerical score that you would be able to make a compilation of as an example.
Yeah, and this is your evaluation process. I was asked what my thoughts were, and those were it. I'll live with whatever you want to do.
Well, have we discussed it enough now?
Well, I would say something. I'd have no problem doing what President Hill just said, you know, making it like a 1-to-5 thing and putting a section in the comments. I was trying to keep it to one page, but so it would be 2 pages. That's no problem. I also don't have any problem with Director Bookout's form if that's what the board chooses to go with.
How do you mean as far as the... Okay, does the questions on Director Bookout's form are not tied directly to the...
That's right. They're more generic, but they're appropriate to the position. They're just not as specific as the other form. But like I said, if that's what the board favors, then I'll go along with it.
Well, one of the things that I like about the attachment E here and D is that it is not 1-5. It is 4 different possible possible answers, leaving the decision not as just a
same 4 levels. You would just assign a numerical value to each, and you would keep the option of not applicable if somebody thought a particular question was not applicable.
Yes.
Well, I'll make a motion if we're ready.
Okay.
I move that we do number B, which was Bill Bookout's, with the adding of additional lines for comments, and that they be sent to the district legal counsel to be collected and compiled.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the form in attachment B with additional comment spaces, and that the forms be forwarded when complete to the district legal counsel for collection and compilation. Further discussion? Public comment on this item? Jeanette?
Hi, Jeanette Padilla. Why is it so difficult to make a simple decision? It's taking 3 meetings to go through this. I think that what Barbara is saying, it makes sense. It makes it easier. It makes me feel like somebody's hiding something. Other than that, it will be easy, simple. I mean, what's wrong with this? Why just make it short, make a decision, and what Barbara is saying, makes a lot of sense. Let's just do it like that and avoid the wasting time and money again. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
No.
Director Dean?
No.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay, item number 12 is report of district representatives.
Can I just say one thing? Please. Also, it wouldn't hurt, though, to have the job description attached, you know, just so you can refresh a little bit when you're doing this.
I can do that.
Probably is a good idea.
Question. I guess this is a legal question. How does the general manager's opinion weigh into this due to the way the contract is written?
Just mechanically, I suppose what will probably happen is the, I think you asked that there be added room for comment and that the general manager's job description be included. We probably set a time to get it out, provide a week or two to get them back to me, and then I'll report back in closed session with a compilation. Do you want me to distribute the evaluation forms? Are they going to come from Patrick?
I can do that.
Okay.
I think this form has comments on all of them, right? So is all.
Oh, that's right. You're right. That one did have a comment section. That's right. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Moving then on to a report of district directors. I attended the OCSD special board meeting. I think the goals that were came out of that were reported earlier. I attended the finance committee and the fire committee meetings. I'll defer comment on that to my fellow committee members. I attended the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District meeting on May 7th. The items discussed there were use of a rental centrifuge, the centrifuge that the district originally thought they might purchase and had leased did not work out as well as they planned. So at the termination of the lease period, they returned that piece of equipment to the lessor. And the they had an opportunity to lease another similar piece of equipment that apparently would meet the district's needs, and by renting it for a short period of time, the staff was confident that it would be able to tell whether it would meet the district's needs or not. So we authorized rental of that as a kind of a test drive period. We looked at the budget schedule for the upcoming 2008-09 budget. Just the schedule was presented at this time. And then a lengthy report was received on progress of cogeneration at the sanitation district plant, the significant on the order of $100,000 or so reduction in the electric bill to the district, which would tend to keep all of our rates under control. So the progress is moving along on that, and that was the substance of that meeting. Bill?
Well, I attended the OCSD special board meeting, 428. Not much to say on that. It's already been said. Our legislative day, the 5th of this month, was a very good meeting up in Sacramento. Dan Walters, a journalist with the Sacramento Bee for about 40 years, was one of the speakers. I was very impressed with what he had to say. We were able to meet with our Senator, Abram Maldonado, and spent quite a little bit of time with him. This is the first time that I've gone to Sacramento that we've actually been able to meet with Abel. Assemblyman Sam Blakesley was not able to meet with us, but we did meet with his legislative director, Jonathan Changas, I believe is his name. Mm-hmm. Very nice young man. We had an early morning conference with Napomo, CSD, and we attended both of these meetings with Napomo. And it was a very good educational trip.
So. How many minutes did Abel give you this time?
He gave us probably about 20.
20 or 25.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was very, he gave, you know, there, when you get up there, you're very lucky to get 5 minutes. And he listened to us. It was a good conversation, and I'm very impressed. Mm-hmm. Actually got to see him voting in the Senate, so.
Okay. Vern?
Well, I was also at the legislative days in Sacramento and also went in and watched Able in Action along with a number of our other legislators. And he actually had our staff hold us up so that he could come and rush back from that meeting as it closed. So he'd have. And right now, depending on who you talk to, the state has a deficit between $10 billion and $20 billion for their budget. Governor's saying $20 billion. We had a write-up on this, or that they were working on this, they were estimating at $10 billion, so they don't even know for sure exactly how much that deficit is. As the state faces that deficit, they're looking for places to get money, and they're looking for ways to cut. Well, the Republicans have said no more taxes, no new taxes at all, and they're stuck on that position. The Democrats are stuck on no cutting of any services. So they're in deadlock over that. We had in 2004, the voters passed Proposition 1A with an overwhelming approval rate of 83.6% as an amendment to the California State Constitution. It is intended to restore fiscal predictability and stability to local governments, us right here, and local government services. And what that proposition did was it doesn't allow them to borrow any more money or take any more money or any ERAF from us unless the governor declares a state of emergency, fiscal emergency. But the good thing about this is that the state legislatures cannot declare that emergency. It has to be initiated by the governor's office. So we're hoping that the governor does not do that, allowing them to pull money from local government. Prop 1A restricts the state from taking local property tax revenues, but allows the state to borrow up to 8%. Estimated to be about $2.1 billion, and that would come from cities, counties, and special districts. That Prop 1A says that the state has to pay the borrowed property tax revenues back to local government within 3 years with interest. Okay, but the kicker is that there's no penalty for that. Okay, there's no hammer at the end that says that if they don't, something additional happens to them. You know, and the little bit of money from, you know, local government is not going to fix their problem up in Sacramento. And it's only going to add to future problems, future deficits. Local property taxes are approved and paid for by the local taxpayers. Okay, if the state borrows property tax revenues from special districts, vital services to the local community, and long-range infrastructure projects, maybe in jeopardy. The threatened services and projects included but are not limited to investments in critical water infrastructure funds by local property taxes, compounding California's water crisis, fire protection services as the state heads into another fire season, park services and recreation facilities which are supported mostly by local property taxes, and flood control and prevention projects aimed at protecting communities. So that's one of the things that we were concerned about and trying to keep from happening while we were up there. And anything else on that one? Okay, so that was one of the issues. The other issue was the realignment proposal. The Legislative Analyst's Office, in its alternative budget, recommended the state shift parole responsibilities to counties and take $188 million from water and wastewater districts to fund the program. So they're looking at Well, the CSDA, the local governments, are opposing any attempt to shift water and wastewater districts' property tax revenues to fund payroll, or to fund parole realignments. Okay. Districts were hit hard by previous ongoing ERAF 1 and 2 shifts and are just starting to recover from the more recent addition of the ERAF 3. Water and wastewater districts stand to lose millions of dollars annually, putting vital water-related services and programs at risk. Districts will be forced to raise fees on customers, creating hardships on schools, low-income families, the elderly living on a limited income, and many others. The state would essentially be shifting the burden and responsibilities of raising fees and taxes onto these water and wastewater districts. The Legislative Analyst Office cites infrastructure or debt financing operations. Examples include capital improvement programs to replace or fix aging water infrastructure, the water infrastructure invested in advert disaster in areas of the state that have drinking water supplies from the Delta. Now is the time to invest in the state's water infrastructure, not to take money away. Any local revenues diverted away from water and wastewater districts only weaken the ability to provide reliable services. So basically what they're looking at is to take some money again away from the local government, and they want to also shift some of the responsibilities down to local government, which would be the parole responsibilities. Okay, there's a third one, which is an eminent domain reform that's coming up. But before I go on to that one, Barbara, what was?
Yeah, most of our the things that they would come after us is a property tax, and the majority of our property tax goes to the fire department, and I don't think they can touch that.
There are actually two proposals. The LAO, the Legislative Analyst Office, made two proposals. The first one was that all funds used for enterprise funds of special districts be transferred to the counties to pay for the parole costs. The
second, you mean our enterprise fund, our water, and our sewer?
Enterprise fund, water and sewer. Yeah, if we had property tax and water and sewer,
but
it would
we
go.
We don't.
That's
but
correct.
Okay.
So we wouldn't lose anything under that proposal.
Right.
The second proposal is, because all the enterprise funds started saying, hey, that's not fair to us, the second proposal is that 8% of all property taxes that go to special districts be transferred to the county to pay for that. It's the same amount of money.
Okay, so then I would think that if this has a snowball chance in whatever of going through, that we need to budget 8% less in our fire department.
Which would be $50,000.
Yeah.
The governor's May revised budget came out today. And that budget will specify whether either of those were included in his proposal. I don't know yet what's happened.
Yeah, because we don't have to worry about the enterprise funds.
That's correct. But
we only have to worry about straight property tax. And if he's done that, then we need to budget
as a proposition.
And even though some of these funds are not going to affect us, we still need to stick together and oppose this shift of local government funds to state government, especially in the condition the state government's in.
Yeah.
It's broken.
Maybe these two handouts from special districts should perhaps be included in the water bill so that the public will know what's going on.
They're pretty complex. It would just confuse
people. Pretty complex when you're sitting here reading it.
I'm trying to explain it as best I can.
Yeah, I'm not quarreling with you on that.
There's a third issue going on in Sacramento that's going to affect a lot of people and us down here, and that's the eminent domain reform that they're working on. Okay, there's two propositions on the ballot. Okay, there's a proposition 98 and 99. Both are dealing with eminent domain reform and will be on the June 2008 ballot. Proposition 98 contains hidden provisions that go beyond eminent domain reform to threaten water projects, rent control, and land use regulations. Okay. The local governments have opposed Prop 98 and its extreme efforts to reform eminent domain, and has supported Proposition 99 and sensible eminent domain reform. Okay. Now, the reason that Proposition 98 was opposed and what was going on with it is that it restricts the use of eminent domain to develop public water projects during a time when the state faces a water crisis. Okay, virtually all future public and private water projects in the state intend to preserve clean drinking water, protect existing water resources, and secure additional water supply, and it puts that at risk. Okay, it contains a hidden agenda to abolish rent control in California. This threatens the livelihood of those living on a limited income. About three-quarters of the funds supporting the Prop 98 comes from mobile home park and apartment owners' interests. So that's where they're getting their money to do it, because it would eliminate the rent controls on both mobile home parks and on apartment units. Threatens environmental and land use laws by prohibiting law one person and give it to another private party, as opposed to a government use for it, which has always been something that has been opposed as far in this country as for, you know, since it was founded. Proposition 98 is opposed by the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the American Association of Retired Persons, California Professional Firefighters, and League of Women Voters, and many more. Okay, and and also the special districts up there were supporting Prop 99, and the reason they were supporting that one was it supported by a broad-based coalition including local governments, employers and business groups, labor, environmentalist groups, public safety, and homeowner groups. It implements sensible eminent domain reform that hits at the heart of the controversy in the Kelo versus the City of New London decision in 2004, without controversial and extraneous provisions dealing with rent control or threatening water projects. Prop 99 restricts government from taking an owner-occupied single-family residence to transfer it to a private party. So what you're looking at in 99 is that you can't, that private land, private ownership cannot be taken to be given to another private entity. So, you know, like what's being done where private property was taken to build a shopping center or something, because they felt that was a better use of the land for the city or so. And it also allows for exceptions in the case of public health and safety, remedying environmental contamination, or to be used for a public works or public or public improvement. So that was the main things that were of concern up there at the time. This year, they're expecting no major bills out of the state this year, due to the fact that that everybody's more concerned and working on the budget. But the problem with it is the whole system up there is broken. It doesn't matter how much money you're going to throw at this situation, there's always going to be a need for more. There's always going to be a shortage. And with the term limits that were passed several years ago, those districts are sticking purely party line in their voting, and that when they go to, and they're just getting out of town type budgets. You know, we're here for a short period of time, we're just going to do the budget to take us over to give the problem off to the next person. And the other thing that's happening is when they go to create a new program or service or something, it takes only 50% plus one to create a new program, but it takes two-thirds of a vote to fund it. So what you find is they keep creating these programs but are unable to fund them. So again,
the shortage.
So those are the highlights in three words or less.
Thank you very much.
From Sacramento, and I've been talking long enough that there's not much to be said on the special meeting that we haven't already covered in the...
I might just add one thing that I think when we go to vote in our ballots, the pros and cons are presented on each proposition. So people should read their ballots to come in the mail, and they might be able to understand which one they want to vote for without us saying which one we favor.
I'm just reporting what the concerns
were. Special districts.
What the concerns were with the within the special districts and local government, and not.
Thank you, sir.
Supporting one or the other.
Pamela?
I have nothing.
Okay, Barbara?
Finance Committee, we met it'll be 2 weeks ago this Monday. The staff went back to rework the budget on some items and to finish up. So we have a meeting scheduled for this Monday night at 6:30. Is that what time?
I believe so.
6:30 to take another look at the budget before it goes to each individual board member. We hope that everything will be so that we can look at it. And stood with the gentleman in the fire department. And I don't remember what we were told on that.
Well, we're still waiting to get started, basically.
We've not started that yet? No. Okay, thank you. So that's my reports.
Thank you. Just a quick question for Pamela. Is Zone 3 tomorrow night?
It's tomorrow night at Pismo Beach at 6:30.
Okay, thank you. Comment or questions from the public on the reports? Jeanette?
Hi, Jeanette. I have my husband asking me to read this for him since he could not make it. And this is what it says. I don't understand why we will send Burn Doll, Bill Bookout, to Sacramento to learn things when they are up to re-election this year. Maybe the people from Oceano will be tired about spending all this money going to conferences, trips, when the board is always saying it that they don't have any more money. He asked me to ask, I don't know who's the person that will have to answer this question, how much it cost to send these people to Sacramento and how many days they were there. That's the question he would like to ask.
Okay, thank you.
I'd have to get the numbers. I don't know them now.
Okay, I think there's... most of it is probably on one of the warrants, and I believe they were there one... The program is 1 day. So, 2 days? Is it? It's a two-day program?
It's, well, it's...
It's 1 day.
One of us stayed 2 nights, and the other two only stayed 1 day. It's 1 day, but it goes into the evening. There's a reception, so if you don't leave early, if you miss the reception, you have to stay a second day.
Okay.
Now, I hear Pamela tonight saying it, how bad the economy is, and I do agree with her. Yes, we have a terrible economy in this moment. And there is a lot of people in Oceano that they really having a hard time putting food on their table where they have a lot of kids. They having a hard time, they losing houses, all kind of things that are going on. And the board is spending this money for this kind of meetings because it's bad. And I think that you guys should just put your common sense and say, let's save money for these people in Oceano, if that you guys really care for Oceano.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, Okay, hearing none. Moving to item number 13, general manager items for discussion.
Yeah, the only thing I had to report is I signed a ready-to-serve letter today for a 23-unit development, which is actually in Aurora Grande. It's a vacant area around the 7-Eleven store, but we provide water and sewer, just water, right? We provide both, water and sewer. So that's a pretty substantial development.
What's the name of that subdivision?
What's the name of it?
Is it the...
Is it private individual?
Oh, it's not the one that the people didn't want there. I can't remember the name. You know what I'm talking about. Huh? Okay.
I just want to make people aware of that. That's all I have.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any board member items again? Pamela?
No.
Bill?
No.
Barbara?
No.
Vern? Consideration of the warrants. Comment or questions?
Alex, I didn't see your name in here. No.
I move we pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the warrants. Is there any public comment? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number 16, public comment. Anyone like to address the board at this time? Hearing none. Any written communications?
None tonight.
Okay. With that then, we're adjourned.